Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What is up, Grizz Nation? It's your host, Parker Fleming, back with another episode of the Longview Podcast, a podcast centered around the Memphis Grizzlies and the big picture objective of sustainable success. The Longview is a podcast on the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network alongside GBB Live, the Core 4 Podcast, the 3D Podcast, and the Starting 5 Podcast. So make sure you're checking all that out wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. And Grizzly Bear Blues is a blog under SB Nation. You find it on the web at grizzlybearblues.com or on Twitter at SBN Grizzlies. Just before we get started today, I just got to say Ja Morant is off to a blazing start to the season. Looking like the best player on the floor no matter who's out there with him, whether it's Paul George, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's looking like that dude. He's really putting in that – he's showing that work that he put in over the offseason in the dark, as he said. And he is showing why Zach Kleiman went out of his way in media day to say Ja Morant will be an all-star. And, you know, he's really on his way to that and more. I mean, he could be a guy that's – on an all-NBA team before we know it. And because of his brilliant play, the Memphis Grizzlies are out to a torching start offensively. They are leading the league in offensive rating at 121.6, almost 5 points higher than the second-place Philadelphia 76ers team as I'm recording on Tuesday, October 26th. And I really wanted to talk about two players in particular that have played a big role in that as well. And that's Desmond Bain and De'Anthony Melton. So at the beginning of the season, everybody had to give their opinions on what the starting lineup may look like, because without Jonas Valanciunas in the fold, it was going to look a little different. And with Jaren Jackson Jr. back for a full season, it was going to look a little different. And so everybody had sharpied in pretty much Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams. That seemed pretty easy, and everyone's talking about the fifth starter. I mean, you have people throwing their Desmond Bane, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton. Some people even got a little interesting with it, and they would have Ja Morant, one of Bane or Melton, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jaren Jackson Jr. So that really kind of dominated headlines, and we saw Taylor Jenkins mix and match with lineups throughout the preseason, primarily with Desmond Bane and De'Anthony Melton getting a lot of those reps. And the setback in Dylan Brooks' recovery opened up two starting spots, and presumably Taylor Jenkins went with Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, De'Anthony Melton, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams, a starting lineup that we saw for the better part of preseason. And the Grizzlies are just out to a humming start with that starting five. Granted, in the very small sample that we've gotten per cleaning the glass, we've seen 99 possessions with Morant, Melton, Bane, Jackson, and Adams, and they're outscoring their opponents by 46.5 points per 100 possessions. Small sample, but when you're throwing out a new lineup, a new starting lineup, and they're experiencing that much success, I mean, especially like you had, they've had three pretty good teams. I mean, Cleveland, they're not a slouch like they have been in years past. Like, they're very legit with Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. They're really brewing something up there. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers. So I love the start that we've seen from that unit. And obviously, Ja Morant deserves a lot of praise in that as well. He's playing like an All-NBA player and an MVP candidate. Steven Adams has had a great resurgence as well. But really, what's elevated this lineup as well is just the next man up approach from Desmond Bane and De'Anthony Melton and the improvements that they've made in their games and the confidence that those two are playing with. And, you know, Taylor Jenkins, from the time he stepped foot in Memphis, he's really talked about this next man up approach, whether that's been with Kyle Anderson starting for Jaren Jackson Jr. for the better part of last season, or it's been guys like John Conchar and Killian Tilly having to step into the rotation and the Grizzlies not missing a beat when it comes to winning basketball games, or De'Anthony Melton filling in for injured wings in his first season with Memphis. We're seeing that right now with Desmond Bane and De'Anthony Melton, particularly with this Dylan Brooks injury, and they have just thrived. As I'm recording this, Desmond Bane and De'Anthony Melton are both averaging north of 18 points a game. Melton's at 18.3. Bane is at 19.3. Melton's edged out Bane in the three-point numbers. Melton's at 57.9%, and Bane's at 34.8%. I'd expect a progression from the mean to the mean for Desmond Bane and a regression to the mean probably from De'Anthony Melton, but hell, even going from 58% down to that 41% that we saw last year, still unbelievable for Melton. Both are averaging a little under 5 rebounds, around 3 assists. They're just both playing really well on both ends of the floor. Granted, there are points, too, where Dylan Brooks is missed. The Grizzlies are at the bottom of the league in defensive rating, having a defensive rating of 117.3, which is at the bottom of the league. But that's besides the point. That's what everything's all about. It's these growth opportunities that we're having for De'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bane. And though they're doing really well offensively and showing real strides of growth offensively, I do want to start with the defense. Last week, I talked about on Grizzly Bear Blues that someone's going to have to fill in for Dylan Brooks when it comes to being a perimeter stopper, especially as the Grizzlies embarked on a 4-game West Coast road trip, facing off against the elites of LeBron James, Paul George, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry. And three of the four of those guys are guys that Dylan Brooks experienced great success in guarding last season. And Bane and Melton, I had Melton being more of that guy to do that, but Bane has really stepped up and impressed me in that regard. It was defense, especially point of attack defense, was one of the real holes that you could point to in Bane's game from his rookie season. And while he still has room to grow in that area, I liked what he did against LeBron and Paul George. I tweeted this out on my personal account. He held LeBron James to 1 of 7 shooting and Paul George to 3 of 8 shooting. And I know it's not the end-all, be-all. Like, matchup data, you have to really look at that plus film to really know how that player is really impacting his matchup. And you can just see with Bane against LeBron, he did a really good job fighting around screens. He did a good job getting into LeBron's airspace, staying physical without fouling. He had only 2 fouls in a little over 30 minutes the other night. Very good growth from him on that front. And, you know, that's just a really good building block for him going forward as somebody who could potentially guard these guys. I mean, if he's going to take starter minutes, or if he's going to take closing minutes, or if he's the guy that gets to stick around in a post-consolidation trade, there's a pretty good chance that Desmond Bane is going to be tasked with being a perimeter stopper. So getting these reps against Paul George and LeBron James, and he'll probably get those same reps against Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Steph Curry, and even later in the week against Jimmy Butler. He's going to get those reps. He's going to get the chance to improve on his point of attack defense and really having to manage the league's elite. And with guys like that, it's not really about stopping them. It's more about containing them. And Bane did a really good job of that the other night. And that's an opportunity that he's really relished. I talked to him after the game on Sunday night via the Zoom post-game press conference and just asked him about this opportunity to cover the league's elite and like what it's really shown him. And obviously he's thankful for that trust that the coaching staff put into him, but also too, it's just an opportunity for him to really just focus on his defensive craft, study these guys' tendencies, look at film. Those are areas that Dillon Brooks made in his rise as becoming a premier defensive stopper. So seeing Bane kind of take on that same mentality has been really cool to see. And with De'Anthony Melton, the results are kind of just a mixed bag and stuff right now. I did like how, you know, he was picking up Paul George full court, face guarding him, kind of similar to like what we saw with Dillon Brooks and Steph Curry. But the height difference between George and Melton, Melton's 6'3", and Paul George about 6'9", 6'10". Kind of that's where the mixed bag comes in. Paul George shot 8 for 11 against him, including 4 or 6 from 3. Really just showing that height difference, just playing a big problem there. But besides the point, I think De'Anthony Melton will really get his growth opportunity in that regard on Wednesday and Thursday's games when he's having to guard guys like Steph Curry, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard. More combo guards, more in his positional archetype there. Because with him, like if he becomes a guy who's starting or closing with John Morant, or he's starting alongside Dillon Brooks and they have a combo guard weapon and a wing weapon, he's a guy that's going to be taking on a lot of those responsibilities, guarding those point guards, those shooting guards. And if he's going to be a guy that either he's sixth round post-consolidation or he is that answer at the starting two guard, however you want to phrase it, like if De'Anthony Melton is having to take on those responsibilities when it comes down to those tight-knit playoff games where there is a star combo guard or point guard on the other side of the floor, these are those opportunities in those large samples to really kind of understand what goes into that. Because, I mean, he's a great point of attack defender. He's even though he's 6'3", it's a 6'8 wingspan, so he has the length to bother them defensively and alter how they get to their shots and how they get to their spots and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing those next two games in particular for De'Anthony Melton defensively. And offensively, their confidence has just been through the roof. There's been times where I felt like those two, once the ball enters their hands, they're just letting it fly. Once they see the rim, they're letting it fly. Or Desmond Bane in particular, he'll attack a closeout with a pump fake, and his eyes just stay at the rim, just letting it fly. They've really embodied that Taylor Jenkins philosophy of letting that bleep fly. And it's been really cool to see. And we've seen them also take on more responsibilities off the dribble, from a playmaking standpoint, shooting pull-up threes, stuff in that regard. Especially Desmond Bane. I know Commercial Appeal's Evan Barnes wrote an article today about Bane trying to become more than a shooter. And he's done a really good job at attacking the rim, something that he really didn't do much of in his rookie season. I mean, he even admitted it in a Zoom or in a post-game press conference that he knows that he didn't do all that much attacking at the rim, but he's done that at a higher frequency. I mean, he's gone to the rim for 26% of his shot attempts instead of 21% from last season. And he's also focusing on the mid-range a little more, attacking in that regard on dribble handoffs and attacking closeouts and stuff. And for De'Anthony Melton, It's been more of pull up threes and playmaking when it comes to like that live dribble creation and stuff. He's still hitting these pull up threes that I had no idea that he can hit, like these step back threes or gathering the ball back out, resetting the offense, and just hitting a pull up three in a defender's face. I lose my mind every time he does that. Still, he's still building on that playmaking. He could improve a little more when it comes to his ability to score in the mid-range. So far this season, he's only 2 of 11 in the mid-range. So just finding more of that in-between game. I mean, he's shooting 73% at the rim, and it's kind of hovered between 55 and 60 for his entire career, and also shooting around about 40% from three between this season and last season. So just finding more of that in-between game is going to be important for him. But I really like the confidence that he's playing with off the dribble and from three at the moment. And when it comes to those two in particular, those are the elements of their games that really kind of set the foundation for leaps. I know I would play your comparisons. There's a lot of nuance with it. But for comparison's sake, Desmond Bain pointed to Eric Gordon and Joe Harris is two guys that he tries to model his game after. And with him becoming like more than a shooter, like that would take him from going from being more of an elite shooting specialist like Joe Harris. Again, nothing wrong with that. But he's wanting to find more ways to attack and be able to score in the mid-range, score at the rim, find his teammates, hit pull-up threes, initiate the offense, stuff like that. And that's more of the stuff that we saw that Eric Gordon kind of stuff, you know, the big physical combo guard that can create his own shot from three but can also put the ball on the floor and create as well. I know Eric Gordon's kind of in like witness protection in Houston right now, but you know, prime Eric Gordon, or even like that Houston Eric Gordon that was playing off of James Harden and Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook, that was a very, very good complimentary player. And so as Desmond Bane starts to add more to his game to become more than a shooter, that's just going to change his trajectory as a player as a whole. And when you factor in the strides defensively, that becomes even a bigger case. And with D'Anthony Melton, it's more about, you know, just being able to sustain this production over the course of receiving more minutes. I know Keith Parrish, Fast Break Breakfast, has been really beating the drum on this. And he tweeted out after the game on Saturday against the Clippers that the Grizzlies were 7-2, now 7-3, when D'Anthony Melton plays 25 minutes or more. And his splits are about 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 50% from the field, 50% from 3. And granted, you got to see what that looks like with a bigger sample, but it's clear, and it's even clear in a small amount of minutes, he impacts winning. So just expanding the horizons on what he can do in a larger sample and seeing if, you know, the per minute production kind of relates, it's going to be massive for his trajectory as a combo guard, whether that's off the bench or starting. Which, speaking of, it kind of raises, you know, who's going to start when Dylan Brooks comes back? Or who can start long-term next to John Morant? Because unless there's like some sort of consolidation on the way, or they end up drafting that guy who could be a combo guard next to John Morant, Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton are making very strong cases to do so. I mean, with Bane's shooting and budding playmaking, he has the potential to be that guy. D'Anthony Melton as well. I mean, John Morant and D'Anthony Melton literally beat the hell out of people when they play, when they share the floor at the same time. I mean, let's just go through the numbers real quick. This season, in 128 possessions, when Ja Morant and D'Anthony Melton are on the floor at the same time, they're outscoring opponents by 30 points per 100 possessions. And last season, in the 2020-2021 season, that number, they outscored their opponents by 12.4 points per 100 possessions. And in the 2019-20 season, they outscored their opponents by 2.3 points. There's a large enough sample that John Morant, DeAnthony Melton, sharing the floor together yields winning. So I think those two guys have done a lot to make their case of being the starting two guard down the road the season. However, they've shown that they could be those guys, but also too these growth opportunities to expand their games as live dribble creators, as playmakers, as defenders, or just as scorers. It's going to be very big for this bench. Either one of those guys could be the sixth man going forward. Matt Moore, a.k.a. Hardwood Paroxysm of the Action Network, he always beats the drum on DeAnthony Melton being a sneaky sixth man of the year candidate. It could really go to either one. And I think it would be a very big boost in the short term for this team for one of those guys to be off the bench once Dylan Brooks comes back, because there's still some times where there's some of those hockey lineup kind of things where you'll have like all starters, all bench, whatever. And at times we could see where there could be a little stagnation of sorts because there's a lack of a go-to score and a guy that you can run the offense to, run sets to. And I think in that regard, like Desmond Bain and DeAnthony Melton could step into those that kind of role and just really help weather the storm. That's really what it's all about if you're going to a pure bench unit. It's just weathering the storm while your starters are out. Or hell, even maybe going back to that dominant bench form that we saw in the 2019-20 season with the Memphis Grizzlies. So though, I think this is just a growth opportunity to help them whatever role, whether it's back to the bench, being a starting wing next to John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. down the road, being the starter this year, being a defensive stopper, growing as a perimeter player. It's going to be very interesting to see. And it's going to obviously, we're going to have more of an idea as this early sample size grows. There's obviously just the ebbs and flows of a season. It's just, there's going to be some highs, there's going to be some lows. So we just got to see what's in line as the Grizzlies continue on through the regular season. But I think it's kind of a launch pad for another leap for either one of those guys. I think we're a good sample size away. Like Joe Mullinax, our site manager, always loves to say Christmas. Like we're probably a month or two away from making some pretty definitive statements regarding Desmond Bane and DeAnthony Melton and the evolution that is going on right now in their games. But it's very exciting to see. Literally, it's one of my favorite parts of a rebuilding team is seeing how your complementary players, I mean, obviously the star players taking leaps are so much fun. I mean, we're seeing it right now with John Morant, but just seeing how these complementary guys grow their games and add more parts of how they can be a weapon as a role player, it's just very, very cool to see. And we're seeing that right now with DeAnthony Melton and Desmond Bane. That's about all I have for this week's edition of the Longview. Never be afraid to reach out, give your thoughts on how you're liking the Longview podcast as we're getting into the regular season. You could do that at @Paka_Flocka on my Twitter. Make sure you're following me on Twitter @Paka_Flocka. Make sure you are following the blog on Twitter @SBNGrizzlies and reading our work over at grizzlybearblues.com. As Joe Mullinax said, there's not many other outlets out there doing what we do when it comes to covering the Memphis Grizzlies organization, when it comes to our game coverage, our features, Brandon Abraham's work covering the Memphis Hustle as they start their season next week. Brendan Smart with Grizz Gaming. I mean, you can check out an awesome feature that he did on Lang Whitaker and his growth as a NBA 2K League GM. And the podcast network. I mean, we have 5 podcasts, all with different views and opinions about the Memphis Grizzlies, the GBB Live, the Long V podcast, the 3 and D podcast, Core 4 podcast, and the Starting 5 podcast. So make sure you're subscribing to all that on the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcast. And with that, that's it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.